Nemo Sinis Nemon. From A Taste of Ismenian Water. By M.J. Bradley. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 20, King of Worms. The sun set beyond the copse of trees and the swath of wildflowers, sinking down over the horizon in a wash of orange and pink. Harry watched its light fade with a frown. "Is Gabby okay?"
"She's fine."
Fleur glanced up from her desk and a patchwork of runes.
"She was just upset."
"Is she still upset?" he asked.
"No."
"Really?" Harry turned away from the window. "You said she was okay with it when you told me about the rings before."
"I thought she was," Fleur murmured.
"I don't think that's what was really worrying her.
She's a sneaky little chick. She wanted us to promise."
"Why?" Harry frowned. "I don't understand. She knows what we want is to be free."
"Don't worry about it, Momo," she said. "Gabby got a promise."
He raised an eyebrow at her. "What happens to no more secrets, Fleur?" Her lips twisted.
"I suppose that is fair," she sighed. "Gabby's not worried about you, she's worried about me."
"Because?"
"Because sometimes when I try to imagine something beautiful, I can only see it if it hurts first. That way I know for certain it's going to be a perfect moment lighting up a dark, ugly world," Fleur whispered. "And we're so close to being free."
Harry stepped behind her and wrapped his arms around her shoulders.
"We already suffered and sacrificed, Morev. This is our perfect moment. We just have to stop the sunset from being stolen."
"Almost," she said, leaning her cheek against his.
"One of us has to make sure nobody can come to take away our dream."
"I'll find them," he promised. "You know I will. Anyone who knows, I'll wipe them all away."
"Just say, I know you will."
The corner of Fleur's lips curved against his jaw.
"And the other one of us has to push a baby out of her, which will hurt, probably quite a lot."
"Can't you make it not hurt?" Harry glimpsed the answer and the flicker passing through her blue eyes. "You can, but you don't want to, do you?"
"He's going to hurt Mama," she breathed. "And then we're going to hold our baby. And it'll never hurt again."
"In a little over 6 months," he said.
"Thereabouts," Fleur replied. "It's not exactly 9, it might be a little more or less, depending on how quick our baby wants to be out here with us."
Harry cupped her stomach with his hands, tracing the gentle curve of her belly and blinking back the faint, hot prickle of tears.
"I still can't believe our baby's in there." "Just wait," she grumbled. "Soon I'd be so round it'll be impossible not to believe it."
"I'm going to have to make you a nest," he grinned. "Presumably out of cake. That seems like the sort of thing you'd want your nest to be made of." A peal of laughter burst from her lips.
"Oui, maman. I would like a huge nest of meringue, s'il te plaît. And then I shall lay a big white egg and sit on it for another year until our baby hatches out. Gabby will help as well, because that's what closely related villa do in the nudist villa commune."
"Seemed entirely truthful," Harry said. "Is it because of our multi-way soul bond?"
"I'm starting to fear you're actually reading Gabby's book collection."
Fleur wrinkled her nose.
"I don't have a bodice for you to rip, pardon."
"And there was me hoping that would be our next exploration of all the fantasies you had while I was away. Would you like that?" Fleur threw a sultry look over her shoulder.
"Tearing my clothes off me,"
Harry chuckled. "I always like taking your clothes off."
"Not as much as you did before I looked so fat," she muttered. "I hope everything goes back to normal afterwards."
He pressed a kiss to the back of her head.
"Of course it will." "As if you'd know anything about what happens to women after giving birth,"
Fleur rolled her eyes.
"If you did any reading, it probably stopped the moment you realized my breasts were going to get bigger."
"I probably should read up," he admitted. "I ought to know, just in case."
"There's nothing to worry about, Momo," she sighed. "Not that you would believe me. Childbirth isn't fun. but with a few potions and a certified healer, most of the risks are gone.
Anxiety gnawed at him. What you're going to take? He smothered images of Fleur on red-stained sheets. You're not going to say no because you want it to...
I'll take them.
You promise?
I promise, Fleur murmured. Happy, Monku.
Happier, he said. I'd still rather you didn't let it hurt you.
I wanted to hurt a little.
A little heat sprang up in her eyes and in the faint smirk on her lips.
I don't hear you objecting at other times.
I can't refute that accusation, Harry confessed.
I still don't like it hurting you, though. It'll be worth it.
Fleur checked the floating silver Kongs on the corner of her desk.
And you need to go to work, Violet.
He squinted at the enchanted clock. That or it's early morning, you really can't tell very easily.
Hush.
Fleur flashed him a small, warm smile.
It's a very pretty clock, that's what matters.
Harry pulled Violet's ring from his pocket and slipped it onto his finger. Off I go, then. Hopefully this time I find something a bit more useful.
The last thing we need is the Conqueror announcing you're still alive to the world, she whispered. Catch him quickly. And if you see any shops, I fancy something spicy, but paprika spicy, not chili spicy.
I'll keep an eye out, he said. I'm sure I can find something for you to snack on.
Au revoir.
Fleur caught his fingers, clutching them against her stomach.
Je t'aime, my lovely. A bientôt.
Harry kissed her on the neck. He apparated into the sunshine room with a soft snap and glanced around. Grease sat in one of the chairs before the brazier, staring into the flames.
Where are we going? Harry asked.
I've located the base, in a town called Thionville.
Grease stood up.
They will have completed their check-ins by now, but we can't go after the main base at night.
No? Harry raised an eyebrow. Why not?
Because from how little we observed while searching, I suspect some of the sub-sins are across the boulder,
Grease replied.
Carsten Mitternich is in charge of things over there, and we need to speak with him before we start any operation to know the lay of the land.
Complicated.
Politics are a necessary evil.
He glanced down into the flames of the brazier.
Mitternich is a notable wizard with an excellent knowledge of obscure magic. He's a little conservative, but most his age are, and he's kept the Rhineland states free of trouble for decades.
What about the small bases on this side of the border? Harry asked. I could hit them, you can take them over, and we hit the main base in the morning. Grease studied him with an odd gleam in his pink eyes.
You are eager?
I'd rather get rid of Le Conqueror before they can stir up trouble, Harry replied. I was planning on enjoying as much of the rest of my life in peace and quiet as I can. The world doesn't need any help to ruin that for me.
Especially not at the moment, Grease muttered. The papers have not yet been informed, but the mess in the Caribbean is spreading. Britain's protectorates have been all but independent states for the best part of a century and drifting further and further from London's influence. The United States has reversed a century of diversions and now this Ginevra Weasley is out there with a squad of Aurors, turning what was a string of irrelevant small magical communities into highly fortified British strongholds.
The U.S. isn't going to like that.
We don't like that, Grease said. Over at the islands of the Caribbean, there are bubbles of walls so thick it'd take weeks to get through them. It's like marching an army up and down outside your neighbor's border, and every time this escalates, the chance of someone doing something stupid increases.
Or someone like Le Conqueror finding a way to light the fuse, Harry murmured. Grease's pale forehead wrinkled.
Yes. With that in mind, we may as well destroy those small bases tonight, Violet. The quicker we are done with Le Conqueror, the quicker we have one less thing to worry about.
He held out a piece of wood.
I'll come with you. Vale is indisposed.
Harry took hold of it with one hand, slipping his wand out of his sleeve. Anything else or no?
The one good thing is that Le Conqueror sets all his sub-cells up the same way. There'll be a small number of witches and wizards, no more than 3, and out there the wards won't be strong in order to avoid detection.
Grease raised the piece of wood, lifting Harry's hand.
Wieso?
Harry swayed against a dirt-smudged, white-plastered wall, glancing down empty roads between a scatter of small houses. Where are we?
A few miles from the border between France and the Rhineland states.
Grace stepped past him, studying the street signs and tossing the piece of wood into a hedge.
The peach-colored farmhouse at the end is the one they're in.
How do you want to do it? Harry asked.
I need to make sure they all die, or at least that they don't know anything.
He spun his wand in his hand.
This might be tricky.
Grace stared at the farmhouse.
As far as I'm concerned, these men are already dead. We've established from your work that Le Canguilar carefully regulates who knows what, which means at best the leader of the Thionville base might know something useful. Now, Tyrant doubted.
So?
Are you any good with wards?
Grace asked.
I can throw up some, Harry said.
It'll be more of a brute force wall than an elegant net, though.
As long as they can't get out by magical means.
Grease murmured something under his breath and pulled a thimble-sized glass jar from his pocket.
Throw them up now.
Harry thrust his magic into the air, layering a thick bubble of it over the farmhouse and pinning the world in place beneath it.
No way out of that without breaking through, and I doubt there's anyone in there who can win a direct confrontation of power with me.
Engorgio,
Grease whispered, dropping the small glass jar. It shattered on the street, and glass shards spilt across the cobbles. A dark tangle of legs tumbled into the gutter. What is it?
A tarantula. I breathe them.
Grease tugged his wand out from within his robes and thrust it at the spider.
Engorgio.
It shivered and swelled up to the size of a large dog. Yellow light glimmered about its limbs as the carapace darkened, pale spines sprouting from its surface and seeping a thick, cloudy mucus.
Lovely, Harry remarked.
Effective.
Grease flicked his wand and the spider charged down the gutter toward the farmhouse.
Grindelwald taught us a harsh lesson in practicality. Dead things are just another resource for a duelist to utilize. A true expert can turn an inferior into a very dangerous weapon with a few enchantments.
How easy is it to become an expert?
Harry watched the spider climb the side of the farmhouse and smash in through the window. A violent scream tore through the night, and flashes of magic burst within the farmhouse.
Not easy, Grease said. It takes practice and creativity. Most people don't naturally have the ruthlessness to turn a corpse into a killing device, nor the motivation to learn it. And for all my experience and experimentation, Grindelwald eclipsed me with ease. He had power I don't. Everything I could do to that spider, he could do to a bull. I heard he even managed to reanimate the griffon.
I heard that as well, Harry murmured. Is it so hard?
It takes incredible power to bind something of that size, especially creatures with a natural magical resistance.
Grease vanished the glass from the street.
I can manage a bull or a horse, but there's not much I can do with the corpse to make it effective without exhausting myself to do it to a griffon and to then enhance the magic.
A wizard smashed through a second-floor window and hit the cobbles with a crack and a shriek of pain. He crawled forward, scrabbling for his wand. The spider scuttled down the wall, smoking, dragging three legs and glimmering a brighter yellow. Harry apparated in front of the wizard and plucked his wand out from before his fingers. Grease's spider leapt onto the man's back, biting deep into the back of his arm.
S'il vous plaît,
the wizard gasped, catching Harry's eye. Pain drenched his thoughts, a thick, hot sea drowning every image Harry tried to slip into their shared minds. Fear of the spider twisted every impression, contorting Pansy's limbs into spider's legs and stretching her brown eyes into countless dark pairs. He tugged his thoughts away, leveling his wand at the wizard. The spider leapt at his face. Harry apparated back beside Grease. It's not very friendly.
He's not meant to be.
Grease twisted his wand. The spider's yellow glow bled crimson and it burst in a shower of steaming black goo. The wizard screamed and convulsed as the dark mucus melted through his flesh like fire through glass, kicking his heels until the shrieks faded to a faint, hoarse whistle and he stilled.
Ouch.
A favorite of Grindelwald's,
Grace muttered.
An advanced adaptation of the blood-boiling curse added to a little enhancement of the inferiors. I'm not sure my variation is the exact same as what we observed from Grindelwald, but it's effective enough.
It does leave a mess, though.
The less secret version of his inconnu will be here to tidy up soon enough,
Grease said.
They'll take over the outpost just in case we need to give the dawn check in reply.
He held out another piece of wood.
One down, two to go.
For the text of this and other stories, visit alltheblankcanvas.com, as well as patreon.com/theblankcanvas. Music by As I Walk Into the Abyss Blinded. QA assistance by Sakiko and Ohana. If you would like to commission me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch using the contact information on my website, which is located at sangabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as links to my Patreon page, to which I hope you consider subscribing to support me, and my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.